Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Hand clap a bit. Let the hand clap be louder. Let it be louder, 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 louder. Hand clap. Those at the back, I can see you. May think that I can't. I can see you. Those are not clapping your hands. I can see you. I can see you. Listen, the church is not a show. The church is not national theater. We've not paid Ticketman to come and watch a show. We are in the church to participate. When I say clap your hands, I want you to clap your hands. Even the people at National Theatre, they clap their hands. You know, some of you are sitting at the back like some big shot. Okay, you are a big shot, but at least you give a hand clap to the Lord God Almighty. All right? And this evening, I want to welcome you to the Living Bread Cathedral. This is the Makane Church International, and this is the His Presence service. Hallelujah. This is the His Presence. Is this our first service of the year? No. It's our first service of the year. Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Oh, then in that case, I want to welcome you. This is our second. All right. Okay. Beautiful. All right. So you're very welcome tonight. If you're watching online, I want to welcome you wherever you're watching from. God bless you. I believe that tonight the Spirit of the Lord will minister to you wherever you are. Distance is not a problem for God. His Spirit can find you wherever you are, and I believe that His Spirit will touch you. The name of the service is the His Presence service, and I believe that His Presence is here with us tonight.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. God bless you for showing some excitement. Listen, may you also experience some excitement in your life. Listen. No. The rest of you are late. Let me address the dancing stars. May you find a beloved who shows excitement to you. May you have a wife one day who shows excitement to you. Like, when you get home, you wonder that, what's happening? What's the news? Look, there's no news. I'm just excited to see you. Receive it in Jesus' name. He that soweth excitement shall reap excitement. So you keep sowing big manism. Yeah. Keep sowing big man. You will marry a wife that when you get home, she has crossed her legs and she's watching the TV. She will not even turn her neck to say hello, dear. You will see. Then you know that you sowed it in the service and you are reaping it. I shouldn't say it. You thought that this year, I shouldn't say it. I'll say it. Are you? It's okay. Calm down. You may be seated. You may be seated. I was just moved by the show of excitement by the dancing stars. Yes. Dancing stars. Listen. Your coolness, your passivity, it's not because you are mature, though.
No.
It's because you're a bush Christian. It's not because you are matured. Relax, be calm. David, the greatest king ever. He danced in public till his clothes came off. And he explained to his wife that it's not because I'm stupid, though. No. This was a man who could descend on cities and clear them. He was not a joker. But he said, when it comes to God, we all become children. Oh,
yes.
We all become children.
Oh, yes.
We all become children. One day, I saw my father with his father. Then I realized everybody has his boss. Everybody. When I enter my father's house, you see that everybody has his boss. In my father's house, I can do anything. Polish shoes, serve water, anything. If my father gets guests, I serve water. One day, my father had guests and I was serving water. Then one of them said, Bishop. Then I said, I beg you, here, there's no bishop. So in the house of God and in the presence of the King of Kings, there is no diplomacy,
no
nobility. Like, you are mature.
No.
Are you mature?
No.
Are you mature in the presence of the Lord? I'm surprised at you.
Hey.
I'm asking you, are you mature in the presence of the Lord?
Hey. Come on.
You are matured. Really? You are matured. You are matured. Some of you, if it was Hearts of Oak playing, you'd be jumping.
Only that day.
You support proper teams too. Black Stars, this is their Fianga ball they're playing. You are doing, up there, movement. But you have come to the church. I say, clap your hands. You are trying to be diplomatic and noble. It's okay. I forgive you. Look, this year, you must rouse yourself. In the presence of the Lord, there's liberty, I tell you. There's great joy, there's excitement. And the joy of the Lord, it is our strength. That's how we derive strength. When we come to church, we shake ourselves and we are happy. Yeah, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, tonight,
hey!
I'm happy to announce to you that
come on.
We are about to be blessed.
Hey, come on! Top. Come on.
I said tonight we are about to be blessed.
Come on.
We are about to be blessed.
Oh, yes.
You know, in my mind, I imagine things like an aircraft that's guided by a GPS. Mm. It receives commands intermittently, which realign it, direct it, lift it to the right altitude, change its direction. And all those movements, based on the commands that the aircraft's computer is getting, all those change altitude, turn to the right, the northeast, to the east, to the west, all those things are designed to bring the aircraft to a particular airport and to land it at a particular destination. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So this evening, I want you to know that God is about to speak to you.
Yes.
And like the command that goes to an aircraft's computer, the commands you are receiving tonight are meant to bring you to an expected end.
Oh, yes.
I said they are meant to bring you to an expected end. Listen, no matter what is preached to us tonight, I want you to know that it is meant to bring you to an expected end. There is nothing that will be preached here tonight that is meant for the church. Anything that will be preached here tonight is for you, is for your life, is for your advancement, is for your promotion, and is for your doing well. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you are ready.
Come on!
I don't know if you are excited enough. I don't know if you are ready for the word of God that has come. I don't know if your hearts are open
Come
wide.
On!
But ladies and gentlemen, tonight,
yes,
We have the privilege of receiving one of God's choicest servants. Please join me. Make some noise. And let's welcome to this pulpit the Bishop Edwin Morgan. Oh, go, come on. Make some noise tonight.
Beautiful church service.
Hello!
What a beautiful church
service.
I'm very happy you are in church. Give three people high five. High five.
Oh.
High five. High five. High five.
Come on.
Tell the person, I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to be here.
What a blessing.
What a blessing.
What a blessing. I want to pray for you.
Let it flow. Prophesy. Speak to us. Prophesy.
I want to pray for you.
Jesus.
I ask that God will grant you clarity.
Amen.
Clarity of vision.
Amen.
Clarity of thought.
Amen.
Clarity of judgment.
Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
May he guide you on the paths
Jesus
he has prepared for you this
Amen.
Year.
Amen.
May he move you step after step.
Jesus.
Guided by the supernatural voice.
Amen.
I remove confusion from
Jesus.
Your life.
Jesus.
I remove any demonic attempt to confuse you,
yes,
to prevent you
Jesus
from seeing and hearing and being guided by the purposes of God. I bring you to that place,
Jesus,
a specific place in the supernatural walk with God, where the voice of God will guide you,
Jesus.
Where the voice of God will speak to you. May that voice not speak only tonight.
Hey.
May that voice also speak tomorrow.
Amen.
May it speak the next day.
Amen.
May each moment of your life be
Jesus
guided by the voice
Amen
of God. May that voice take you to the schedules of
Jesus
your life. The appointments of your life.
Amen.
May you not miss any divine
hey,
appointment.
Jesus.
May you not miss any supernatural appointment. May the hand of the Lord continually
Jesus
hold you.
Amen.
Pour you.
Amen.
Guide you.
Amen.
And bring you to
Amen
a place of supernatural blessings.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Where there was a lack,
may
prophesy that be a supply.
Amen.
Where there was a lack,
prophesy,
may that be a supply.
Amen.
Where there was a lack,
prophesy,
may that be a supply.
Amen.
I now establish you
Jesus
with proofs.
Amen.
Proofs.
Amen.
Evidence.
Jesus.
That God is with you.
Ataya,
proofs.
Amen.
That you are a child of God. May you have something to show.
Jesus.
That you are walking with God.
Amen.
And may his eternal plan continually guide you and bring you to a place of beautiful blessings.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Oh.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Tonight.
Oh, yes.
I would like you to please be seated. And I want to read two verses. And then we will have a little fellowship around the word of God. We need to have like Bible study discussions. We need to have groups that meet. And then there's a verse put on the table. And everybody, bring your mind, bring your mind, bring your mind. Yeah. The word of God must seep into you powerfully. You see, there's nothing like Christianity without the word of God. There's nothing like Christianity without the word of God. It's something else. The word of God is what, I mean, in fact, your relationship with God is based on his word. In fact, the God you know is based on the word of God. Yeah. The size of your God is determined by the size of his word in you. His word. He is his word. John chapter 1. So if you have a mind that you are walking with God, you have a mind that you have come to God, then you must have respect for his word. Because all your relationship with God is based on, centered around his word. The platform is the word. So I want to read some two verses. And then we'll have a little Bible study. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for your presence. I'm reading the first scripture from Romans chapter 14, verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Tonight I'm talking about the judgment of God. Judgment day. Yeah. We must all stand before the judgment seat of God. Let me also help you with other translations. Just two. Give me any two translations. The New Living Translation. So why do you condemn another believer? Or why do you look down on another believer? I said I was going to read two verses, but I'm reading only one verse. Yeah. Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Let's all read this verse together. One go. Romans 14, 10. So why do you condemn? Oh, I can't hear you. Please, don't do this. Don't do this. Bishop Kobe just told us about that this is not national theater. You've not bought a ticket to come and watch. I'm not performing in front of you.
Yes.
We are in church.
We participate.
You are in church. So let's do it well. One, go.
Romans 14, yes. Verse 10. So why do you condemn another believer?
Okay, okay, let's stop. Everybody stand to your feet so that you can have proper ventilation. Yes, you must ventilate your air spaces so you can speak with the volume of air available to you. Yes, one, go.
Romans 4.
Yes.
So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God.
Beautiful. So let's look at another translation. Give me another one. Amplified. It's a lot, but we'll read it. One, go.
Romans 14:10. But you, why do you criticize your brother? Or you again, why do you look down on your believing brother? Or regard him with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Who alone is judged?
You did it very well. Now, let's take it again for the last. Okay, give us another translation for the last time. Another one. New International Reader's Version or NASB. Or, this is. Give us the NEV. 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 New International Reader's Version. Yes. One, go.
Romans 14, verse 10. Now then, who are you to judge your brother or sister? Why do you ask them better than they are? We will all stand in God's courtroom to be judged.
Clap your hands for Jesus. You may be seated. So, this evening, the message I'm sharing with you is titled, Your judgment will be based on your treatment of others. Your judgment will be based on how you treat your brother. The courtroom experience may not have too much to do with the stealing, fornication, and the things. There may be another session where we are going to discuss how the fornication began.
Okay.
But the basis of your judgment will be on your treatment of others. If you end up in hell, the chances that it will be based on how you treated somebody is very high. So let's jump into scripture, the New American Standard Bible, and see Matthew 25, which forms the basis for this short message I'm sharing with you, this lovely service called His Presence Service. Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Next verse. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You remember last Sunday, I taught you that we are the sheep of His pasture. And I said that God's pasture does not have only sheep. God's pasture has got snakes, has got hyenas. Were you in church, by the way? I feel I'm talking to some strangers. God's pasture has got lions, but we are the sheep of His pasture. So today you are learning that His pasture also has goats, but we are the sheep of his pasture. And on that day, he will separate the sheep from the goats. Let's go on to verse 33. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, who are those on his right? The sheep. You are right. Come, you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Note the English words. Food, ministering food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, into your house. Everybody's house has got people who are not strangers. The daughters of the house are not strangers. The sons, the wife, the husband, the mother, the auntie. When you bring a church member to your house, you brought a stranger to your house. I was a stranger, and you brought me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick? Jesus, God sick? Can you imagine Jesus having tuberculosis? Can you imagine a sick God? So I can understand this question. God who is robed with the clouds. His baseball cap is the sun. The rainbow. Hey. It's over his head. He can't be naked. Even you have a shirt to wear. How much more God? When did we see you a stranger? When did we see you sick? I mean, can you imagine Jesus Christ coughing? He's coming to preach. Jesus. He's coming to pray. Peter, can I have some topai? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Stand to your feet and clap your hands and you can sit down. Keep clapping, baby. And listen to what our pastor says. Stand for some 2 minutes and then you sit down. Salvation comes to us by believing in Jesus Christ and his blood. However, the scripture is clear. in showing us that another judgment of the nations will be solely based on the treatment of those who are less fortunate and handicapped. Judgment will be based on your treatment of others. If your judgment is going to be based on how you treat others, then you must begin to think about others. But I thought people only went to hell because they did not accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior. Yes, this scripture is showing us that people are being sent into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, because they did not care for others. I'm sure we did not understand everything about eternal judgment. Dear friend, the scripture is clear enough. We need to further, we need no further encouragement to care for others. Judgment will be based on the treatment and care for the unfortunate group we are calling others. Your treatment of others will be the great measuring rod for your judgment on Judgment Day. Now, that's what I was waiting to find and read to you. Who are the others? The others are the people outside your world. They are the hungry, the naked, the sick, the poor, the thirsty, the strangers, and the prisoners. Who are the others? The others are the people who are outside your world. And when we say your world is you. Your world is not the church. It's not your school. Your world is you. Everybody has an interest in his life. Your world is you, your wife, and your four children. That's my world. Your world is you and your beloved. Yes. Don't start describing the church as your world. Your world is you and your sister at home and your brother. You and your uncle you live with, that's your world. Ladies and gentlemen, in a church, there are different worlds that have gathered. And I now want to ask you to sit down because I need to talk to you. From today, everyone, you see, if you believe in John, the gospel according to John, chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world, then you must also believe Matthew. You must believe Matthew. Believe it that a day is going to come. You are going to stand in front of God, and he is going to judge you. And the basis for your judgment will be how you treated the next person sitting by your side. When we say strangers, we are not talking about the people sitting in the churches. They are also strangers. But the sister sitting by you in church is a stranger. Say, how well do you know this man? You brought him to church. Oh, you came to meet him. Say, do you also know him? He's a stranger. We are in the church trying to avoid fornication, trying to avoid smoking and drinking and stealing. But tonight, I brought up a past question. You thought that the pastors only had smoking questions, fornication questions, pornography questions, and all the questions. But tonight, I'm showing you that there is also a year, 1978, Novdek. This question came. 1978, Novdek. This question came and it carried 80 marks. You better start attending some extra classes. And the name of the subject is My Treatment of Others. Because it go who you that you are standing before God. It go who you that you are standing before God. And the judgment you are being taken on by how you did not care about the person sitting by you. Because what you may not know is that when you turn, the person you see is God sitting there. Take me back to the verse 36 or so, that as long as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. So what you may not know is that God takes personally what you do to others. How you talk to somebody. How you talk to somebody is noted, because there is a divine interchange. You will not know when you are there. See, many times we have been brought up as Christians and charismatic Pentecostal believers that when you are dealing with your pastor, you are dealing with God. It's true. When I'm dealing with my pastor, I'm dealing with God. Because the Lord told Aaron that Moses shall be to you in the place of God. So the Moseses in our lives, I, your pastor, Bishop Kobe, your convener, is standing in the place of God. What you say about him, you are saying it about God. In fact, Mike Medock said he was talking to Jesse Duplantis and his wife. They were sitting in a restaurant eating. Then he brought up an issue of another Christian brother. And they discussed it. When they finished discussing it and they left, the Holy Spirit took him on. He took Mike Medock on. He said, what discussion were you having in the restaurant with Jesse? Jesse Duplantis is like another father in the kingdom. So we were discussing this brother and his things, his issues and so on. And the Holy Spirit told him that I am not happy with you, because this brother is somebody I am working on. Wow. And what you said about him implied that you have no respect for me. Nice. We have been brought up to believe, and it's true, that when you see a prophet, you are seeing God standing in front of you. That the words of the prophet are the words of God coming to you. It's true. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20 says, believe in God and you'll be established. Believe also in his prophets. The same word, believe. You see, sometimes some English words like love. You see two loves, and one is agape, and one is filio, or one is eros, and one is something else. But this word, believe in God, is the same word. How we believe in God should be how we believe in his prophets. Anybody playing the fool with a pastor is setting himself up for the retribution and the vengeance of God. But ladies and gentlemen, having established this premise, I want to develop it further and inform you that in the church, it's not only the pastor who represents God, but the brother sitting by you also represents God. When I was in school, I had a distinction in O-level. I had top grades in A-level. A-A-B-B. Not this type of Jack and Jill type of things you are doing there. Proper examination. I had A. A. B. B. Medical school. One touch. Do you know how I got an A? I said, do you know how I got an A in biology? And a B in physics. When I entered the room, there was no question. I couldn't answer. I made sure that every topic in the curriculum, I had studied it. I knew something about every magnetism, scalar vectors, scalar quantities, mechanics, light, every electronics, diodes, triodes. So there was no question I couldn't answer. That's how to have an A. So I'm very happy that you have stopped fornicating. Okay. I'm very happy that you've stopped clubbing. I'm very happy that you've broken up with a girl. I'm very happy that you and that married man are no more in a relationship. But ladies and gentlemen, there's another section of the exam called treatment of others. And it's 80%. Because even fornication, there are circumstances. No two fornications are the same. Yes, no two fornications are the same. Even though the act is the same act. But how they fornicated, you don't know the circumstances that led to that. Yes. That's why even in court, killing A is different from killing B. It's different from killing C. You can even steal the same amount of money, but the sentences are different. So even the fornication and the smoking, we are all emphasizing, there are differences. Yes. There are brothers who fornicate because by the time he raised his head and looked at the person, the breasts were already out. And in trying to let her wear the dress, his hand went and touched the breast and something happened. He shouldn't have slept with her, but the circumstances are different from the brother who actually lures the girl, buys PK, buys black and white, buys chocolate, takes her to town, grooming her for sex in 2 years. There are different things. I'm here to inform you tonight, I'm breaking the news to you that hell is not only about fornication. Hell is not only about smoking and drinking. Hell is also about how you treat others. How you treat others. How you treat others. And you better get it right because it's 80%. In fact, when you read this after darkness, there's even no, let me not go too far. The Bible talks about liars. And that scripture that has liars, you will not believe the list of those people who are going to enter into the lake of fire. It's not just fornicators. Tonight, God is asking me to tell you as a Christian, begin now to develop relationships with people sitting by you. This church thing, I saw you in the choir. You were singing. You'd be surprised that she doesn't know the names of half of the people she was singing with. You want to challenge me? Should I let them stand up and start mentioning their names?
Yes.
She's in the choir. Pastors who don't care. I traveled and I got a text about a leader saying that a pastor she's working with is in her way. So she must define and she must be clear what her role is. It's like we are in no mood to relate with people. We have an isolationist mentality. We have an island mentality. To even have the guts and the audacity to refer to a lady pastor that she's in your way. Somebody we should just collect and throw away. God has favored you and given you a place in the ministry. No interest. No interest. But the church that we are copying from, that's not how they build the church. As the church we are copying from, it's not Assemblies of God. The church we are copying from, it's not Holy Fire Ministries. The church we are copying from is not Presbyterian Church. The church we are copying from is not the Catholic Church. The church we are copying from is not the Methodist Church. The church we are copying from is the church in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, ladies and gentlemen, they were one. They were together. In fact, nobody said that what he had belonged to him. That if I had the shirt was just in my house for now. That if a brother needs a shirt, I'll give the shirt to him. Nobody said that these shoes are mine. So once I found that you have no school fees, I go and sell something. So they sold lands in the book of Acts. They sold houses. They sold their things. That's how we know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They were one. They ate together. They broke bread together. They didn't say, oh, you've not washed your hands. I just saw you coming from the toilet, so I can't eat with you. They ate together. They prayed together. They broke bread together. They fellowshiped together. And they were also persecuted together. They sold their possessions and their goods. They are two different things. Every day you are the one who doesn't have money. Every day you are the one struggling to get money. It's like, as for you in your world, somebody's need is not a part of your Christology and your ecclesiology. Every day it's you, your child, your house, it's like there's no space in your life for strangers. And I'm saying that the strangers are not the people in the church station, the people in the taxi rank, the people in the stadium. The person sitting by you is a stranger to you. This is not a church. This cannot be a church. God doesn't. A church is not a place where somebody is preaching. Then we call Bible knowledge class in school a church. Like when you are going for BK or what do you call it? RS. CRS. What's that? Christian religious. Then we should say we are going to church. The fact that I'm standing here with a Bible in my hand doesn't mean that there's a church. I said the fact that a pastor stands in front of a church with a Bible and a screen, LED screens, and verses are everywhere, doesn't mean you are in a church. This means God may not recognize this as a church. I said, otherwise, then CRS, we should say that, I went for maths lessons, English lessons, and from 11 to 11:45, we are going to church. We may well be having a CRS lecture. Because a church is not a church because a pastor is preaching to the people. A church is a church because of the intra-member bonds and intracellular relationships and intra-family associations. So when you are in the church and you don't relate, you are dancing with somebody whose name you don't know. You don't even know his house. There are pastors who don't know where their members stay. There are shepherds who don't know what is happening. I mean, all he wants is that, why didn't you come to church? You didn't bus well. But he doesn't know what the person is going through. That's not what the person is going through. Why didn't you bus? Why are your members? I mean, the girls who came to sing solo on the stage, do you know what they are going through? Because your emotions can also affect even how you sing. And we are not interested in what the person is going to. All we want is that you didn't come. So my members were 11 instead of 12. So I will not get my basin. I will not be green. We are going to start caring for ourselves. Because it's a past question. It's a past question. We are going to start caring for ourselves. This business where you are important to me only because you play the keyboard for me, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. You are special to me because you sing for me. It's nonsense. We must learn to love strangers. This church is packed around you with strangers. Wake up. Stop what you are doing. It's rubbish. Wearing crimson yellow doesn't mean anything here. Canary yellow doesn't mean anything here. Where is the person you visited? Even when you are come to church on Saturday evening, you must come with extra money to give to a brother. Or a bowl of wache to give to a sister. Oh yes. You are coming with some canned coke. Even when you don't drink canned coke, but you bought a canned coke, not because you want to belabedose the girl, but as a Christian, you want to give somebody a good feeling. A good feeling. We are afraid. I'm afraid to marry you. I don't know what is coming. I'm bringing into my house a useless girl. I'm sorry, even the panties you are wearing, you've worn it 3 times already. They can't cook. They can't clean. Sit down. Let me tell you why you can't cook. Today, I'm going to explain to you why you can't cook. If you don't sit down, I'm stopping the preaching. Let me. My wife is waiting for me at home. I need to go. Do you know why the girls, your members, they can't cook? Then sit down, let me explain to you. You know, you marry a girl, 25-year-old girl. She has no clue how to care for herself. Personal hygiene. She has no clue how to cook a meal. She has no clue how to care for a home. Do you know why? Because when you were 18, I met a girl today. She's 19. 19 years, I think. 19. 18, 17. You should have... You know why you can't cook at 24? Because when you were 17, you should have invited some brothers to your house to cook for them. Hey! 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 Imagine, imagine cooking, cooking practice. 17, you are cooking. You cook some stew and rice, and it's not nice. You ask the brother, really, tell me, how was the food? I mean, even those guys, by in 4 years' time, one of them will say he wants to marry you. But as you are standing here, nobody wants to marry you. Because you don't think about others. In the Bible, they broke bread. That if you are an 18-year-old girl and you are using even the members in the church for cooking practice, by the time you are 25, you should be doing Spanish, Italian, Indian, Chinese. Oh, yes. Yes. Like you said, like you give yourself an assignment that I will do Indian. So you invite two guys. You save some money to do Indian. The Indian may not work in January. It may not work in February. But by August. That is why today girls can't cook. Because the others mentality was meant to make you a virtuous woman. Because your life will never develop if all your instincts are developed in your domestic environment. Your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. There must be the Bible says that when we minister to strangers, we minister to angels. God has meant it that until your life is with other people, you will never do well. Do you know why? You've rented a house, a room, and the room is dirty. I'll explain to you why. Because when you were 18, you never invited people to your house. Because when you invite people to your house, or to your room, or to your chamber and hall, you are forced to clean, you are forced to lay the bed, you are forced to arrange. I'm preaching. You are forced to do some things. Now, if you don't do it for the strangers, you will not have it for yourself. That's why there's a saying that the way to take to go to the top is to take someone there. That if you take someone to the top, you will get there. There are many places in life we don't go there by going there because you cannot be your best motivator. You cannot be your best motivator. It's your love for others. I mean, clearly, if I invite this lady to come to my house, to come and eat, clearly, I'll clean, my house will look, my room will look nicer. Because once I'm the only one there, if a pillow is here, toilet bowl is here, this is here, it's my own room, I'm fine. But once I say that, Brother Jack, come to my room and let us eat, it will force me to arrange the things in my room. When I was sixth form, lower six, this must be lower 20 or 18, 19 or so, I was baking cakes. Yes. I was baking cakes. Before I could bake Madeira cake. Google. Yes. Madeira cake. I'll be in my house. I'll get this. Mix, check, time, this. And I bring out Madeira cake. Me. Why? Because I'll invite some girl. And one of those girls, I married her one day. Hey, hey, hey. You are surprised that at your age you can't get a beloved? Hey. You are surprised that at your age nobody is proposing, because there are no intracellular relationships. There is no plan to care for others, love others, meet the needs of others. Your life is about you, you, you. If I appoint you a Basenta leader, it means I have given you a chance to go to heaven. Because you are going to think about others. The members in your Basenta are not your cousins, are not your sisters. They are strangers. They are strangers. They are strangers. Say, are you a member of this church? You. Are you a member of this church? Today is your first time. You've been coming here. Who do you care for in this church? Ah, he's a member. Yeah, he's even brought his own communion with his Holy Bible. Stand up. Who do you care for here?
Normally, I used to travel to North, and sometimes I hear sometimes North.
North? Where's North? Kodesh. Oh, oh, yes, you're in the North. Yes, Oti Region. I said, is this your first time here?
No.
Yes. Sorry, is this your first time here?
No, please.
Uh-huh. So, who, how many times have you come here?
Oh, it's long time. I was, when I came, it was 2019.
Exactly. So I'm saying that you've been coming once a while. You live in the Oti region. You are there all the time, but once a while you come. And when you come, you are here. What's your name? I want to be your friend, by the way.
Dominic.
Dominic. And I'm saying that, Dominic, who do you visit? Who do you, have you given somebody, even the communion, have you bought one for somebody?
Yes, please.
How many have you bought communion for?
I bought two.
You bought two and gave one to whom? Clap your hands for Dominic. That's mentality. Have you visited anybody here?
Yes.
Who have you visited in this church? Have you, the person's house or office? Who have you visited?
I used to visit Pastor Michael.
Pastor Michael is a grown-up. Grown-up Pastor Michael is a pastor. Church member like a brother. Who do you visit? That you are also helping the person to be a good Christian like you. You go to the North. Then when you come to Accra, nobody knows you. But you are still in church. You are a Christian.
Yes.
Clap your hands for Dominic, by the way. And I'm saying that, who are you helping? Now, mention somebody you visit and bring to church. Did you bring anyone to church today?
No, please.
Yes, you must. You've done well to buy communion for someone. But go on, develop this by visiting somebody, bringing someone to church, giving someone food, attending Basenta meetings. Make somebody your friend. That is the Christian life in the book of Acts. Where is Bishop Kobe? Have we not been wondering why the girls are not getting beloveds? Why the boys are not proposing? A grown-up Christian, you are working, you've got money. You can't get a beloved. When the church has got more girls than boys. Do you know why? Because your life is lived to yourself. When God gives an instruction, whether you understand it or not, better obey it. When God gives an instruction, better obey it. Because you will not understand what is in it for you. When God says, win a soul, better obey it. Win a soul. Establish a soul. When God says, serve me, you don't know what is in it. From today. Why don't you have friends? Why don't you have friends? You are 26, you are going to marry. There's no man. There's a way you can live your life. By 25, by 24, four boys are fighting over you. Oh yeah, that's what I know. That's what I know. When I was proposing to my beloved, there were other guys who were interested, and I knew them. They were richer than me, more handsome than me, but I knew I had something they didn't have. Yes. 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 I mean, the cake I would bake for her. Madeira cake. What are you talking about? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, It is, yeah, that's a Madeira cake. Exactly. That's a Madeira cake. This is my specialty. I bake these things. Mazuna Mahataka Baba. When will you bake a cake? When will you cook for somebody? When will you fry fish for somebody? Some of you can't fry fish. Because you will save 10 Ghana cedis to buy 8 Ghana fish. Or fish is not 8 Ghana. One fish. Raw fish. Raw. 10 Ghana. Nkamfuna. You will save 10 Ghana cedis and buy one fish. Get oil from your neighbor and fry the fish and buy kenke. How much is kenke? Hey, kenke is 5 Ghana now. What? Call me 5. Yeah, you buy kenke and you invite the lead singer in the choir. The lead singer in the choir. I'm telling you, how can you not get a husband? How can you not get a husband? The brother comes, he sits down, he eats, and when he finishes it, he will go. Oh. And you have cut some old bed sheet, you have sewn the edges, and so please use this to wash your to clean your hands. And you brought him some water. I mean, as the brother is going, his mind has been left behind. The mind has been left behind. Now, in the Basentes, we are going to have cooking practice. We are going to have what? Cooking practice. We are going to have culinary skills practice. Some Basenta meetings will have it in other people's houses. We are coming to your house. We are coming to eat. We are out. Bring 5 Ghana. Bring 7 Ghana. Bring 4. Bring 6. Bring 10. Together, we give it to Mavis. Go and cook. We are having Basenta meeting in your house. Won't you learn how to cook? At your age, you can't even boil water. Your judgment will be based because God intended to beautify your life with other people. God intended to make your life nice through your care. As you care for others, it makes your life nice. Even a Basenta leader who teaches a Basenta constantly will be a very valuable asset in the office. Your boss can ask you to lead the meeting. You know how to speak publicly, how to express yourself. What he doesn't know is that you are actually a man of God in the church. He may be your messenger or whatever, but in the church you've got members. The church is not meant for bashing. This is not how God made it, say. You've got it wrong. This is not how God made it. Bashing. We come and sit in church, then the choir will sing, the dancing stars will come. And it's all superficial. Because the people who are, they're not even talking. I mean, how can somebody leading a song, you are leading a song, or you are singing solo, and you have asked your lady pastor that you don't want her into your affairs. Which spirit are you using to sing? What nonsense is this? There's no space. You can't disagree with somebody and still be in church. Like as I'm facing people to the preaching, I don't know who's going to lead the church and who's going to stay in the church. Because in your life, it's like what you want to do is what you do. Get out of here. Get out of here. There are goats in the pasture. There are lions in the pasture. There are snakes in the pasture. But I pray that you make yourself the sheep of his pasture. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod is beating you, but it's your comfort. You won't even get that I'll correct you. We are going to break down the church. The Bacentes. This year. Bacentes will not be just a place we go to just go and do some watery Bible study. No. We are going to plan. Some Bacentes meetings will be for cooking. Some Bacentes meetings will be for using fork and knife. The hand eating is too much. I said, the hand eating is too much. Constituency overseers, I said, constituency overseers will raise money and take Bacentes to restaurants to sit down and use fork and knife or invite them to your house. Yeah, if you are a CEO, invite the Bacentes, one Bacentes of 10 members, bring them to your house. Just give them a coffee broke man with water and teach how to use a fork. It will really help you yourself to use a fork because you don't know how to use a fork and knife. This year is relationships. This church is relationships. It's friendships. I'm going to sit in my office. I'm going to plan what type of bad. It's not just going to be Bible study. In Acts 2:42, they didn't just have Bible studies. Yes, they committed themselves to the doctrine of the apostles, but they also broke bread. They prayed. They did things house to house. We are going to have Bacentes meeting. The era where Bacentes met in only one place is changing. Bacentes will meet from house to house. I guess some of the services will be held online. We'll not meet here. We'll have the service online. And we'll be meeting in people's houses. You take pictures, houses, and I'll preach to you in the houses. We have worship in the houses. Online service. Yes. Fellowship leader with his three members are in his house, or we are in Abner's house, or we are going to Marcus's house. Then you fill forms from the different houses and take pictures, and we see where you have met. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to end by announcing that Jesus Christ had a mother. His name was Mary. He had brothers. But when you enter the church, he also had brothers in the church. He had sisters in the church. Where are your sisters in the church? Do you have sisters in the church? Do you have brothers in the church? Where are they? This year, we are going to use it to, it's our year of work. The work will be the work of building relationships. A church is not a preaching place. Otherwise, Christian religious studies will be called a church service. What I am doing right now, please clear from there. What I'm doing right now does not make this place a church. A church is not a place where a pastor has a verse and there are 14 screens with scriptures and choir singing. A church is a church because it is like the book of Acts church, where the people are into relationships and bonds and joints. The leader of the choir, how many members have you visited? And how many members have visited you? How many of your members have visited you? Say, are you not a member of this church? Oh, today you're not a member. No, I said today you're not a member. You are a new convert, not so. Yeah. How many people have you visited in this church? Stand up. Point to the people you have visited as a Christian. How many friends do you have here? Where are they? Point to them. Where? Raphael. And who? Awini. You are a fellowship leader. You are what? And who else? How many people have you gone to visit? You've gone to their house.
Awini.
And who else? Yeah. This year, you will do better. Okay? Yeah. She's your sister. Do you know her? Oh, you came together. You just happened to sit by each other. Do you know her name? Yeah, she's a stranger to you. Stand up. She's a stranger. Put the verse up. Put the list up. Jesus, do you know his name? Yeah, Jesus, don't go to the taxi rank or trot station. Right here in church, there's a stranger by you. Where are the things? Matthew 25. The person projecting doesn't attend Bible studies. So doesn't even know where the verse is. The stranger. Take me to 36. 36. 35. Hungry. Do you know whether she is hungry or not? You should ask her, have you eaten today? It's an important question. Ask her, have you eaten today? Are you okay? Ask her, can I buy you something? No, it was surprise. Look, listen. That's not like the preaching things I'm doing. No. It will surprise you that this girl could easily be this man's wife in 15 years' time. But it will surprise you that in 15 years, this girl may not be married. This man is sleeping with prostitutes. It will surprise you that in 15 years' time, she may not be married. Because God brought us into this church for us to be together, to relate together, to love each other, to be into each other, to care for them. So, Kobe, we are going to have a meeting after church, you and I. Yeah. This business of Bible study manual, it's good, but it is just 1/50. Why should somebody in this church go and marry somebody from Pentecost? It means that the person's relationships are outside and not here. But Jesus said that, but because me, I married my spiritual mother. Yeah, you can marry your spiritual mother in the church. Everything is here. Your driver is here. The teacher of your children is here. Your employer is here. Your employee is here. Your sister is here. Your friend. How can you be in a church and you are a lonely sister? Why should you be lonely? Why should you be in church and not have breakfast? Why can you be in church and not have food to eat? How can you be in church and you can't pay your fees? It's not a good church. It's not a good church. In the Bible, the church we read from, everybody's need was met in the church. Why? Because they related, they formed relationships and bonds. If you are listening to me and you are not in a bus center, decide to join a bus center before the service ends. Yeah. Because the church is no more a church where we meet inside the hall. It's fake. It's fake. It's fake. So we are together. We don't know ourselves. I don't know what he's going through. He doesn't know what I'm going through. She's sleeping with some Buddhists to get money to go to school. then she is singing. You think that you've got a singer, but she's soon going to be. There's a brother here recently, he went to marry a Hajia. Here in this, there's no example I'm giving. I can't give you names and places and dates. But from the beginning, I said from the beginning, when God made the church in the beginning in the book of Acts, it was not so. It was not like this. That we wear black and come and stand here. And we don't care about each other. We don't know about each other. We don't visit. We don't share. We don't ask, how are you? Really, how are you? Where do you live? We've sung together for 4 years. Where do you live? Where do you live? God, listen. God didn't bring us into this church to just come and hear pastors preach. We are not the best preachers. So preaching is not the point. It's not the point. God brought us here to meet our needs. And our needs are not just Bible needs. Our needs are needs for fellowship, need for love, need for food, need for clothes. But you will not relate. How will I know that you don't have clothes? You will not relate. How will I know that you don't have food to eat? But I pray today that God has spoken to you and is moving you closer. In fact, I know he's moving. He has moved you closer to his will. That the church is a place of love. It's a place of relationships. It's a place of caring and loving. Jesus, he sat with people. He conversed with them. He gave people food. He visited houses. He laid his hands on people. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. How come 2,000 years later, we are doing something else? The church is just a place for preaching. We just come preach. The pastor preaches a powerful message. We give in some offerings and tithes, and then we are going home. No. The church is supposed to meet bigger needs of our lives. And I'm saying it again. If we are building a proper church, nobody should be in need. Nobody should need a beloved. Nobody should need a mother. Nobody should need an employer. Nobody should need an employee. Nobody should need a friend. Nobody in the church should need a meal to eat. But it's because we are many, but we are scattered. Matthew 9. When Jesus saw it, he said they were scattered. They were scattered. Each one to his own. And he says it's because there was no shepherd. Yeah. We need proper shepherds who bring members together. We need proper shepherds who bring fellowships together. We need bacenta leaders who bring their bacenta members together. Let's go and eat. Let's go and dance. Let's go and watch a movie. Let's go and pray. Let's be together. Kwame, how's your sister? You said you didn't come to church last week because your mother was not well. How's your mother? All of us, let's go to Kwame's house and visit Kwame's mother. That's the church God wants us to have. That's why a shepherd is needed. And until that is done, this is a social forum. But God will bring us to that beautiful place where truly the act of, and you see, that is also where the power of God could be felt. Power to raise the dead in the book of Acts. Power to heal. Power to silence the mouths of devils. It was there. Because where the people are one, that's where the unity is. That's where the presence is. That's where the anointing is. That's where the power is. And that's where demons scatter. They couldn't be there. May God help us. May God help us. Remember the title. Your judgment will be based on your treatment of others. And the others are not the people in the church station only. And not the people in the taxi only. The others is the person sitting by you. The one behind you. The one in front of you. The one you danced with. The one you sang with. May we from today reorient our lives. reorient our poles, reorient the direction of our minds and our lives towards others and not ourselves only. Stand to your feet and let's close the service. Pray in the spirit. 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 Pray in the spirit.
Oh yes, Lord.
Can you close your eyes? Somebody wants to give his life to Jesus. I want to say, Pastor, today, what a message I've heard. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. It's Jesus first. If any man be in Jesus Christ, that's when you are new. And it's because we are not in Christ properly. You will learn later on that it's the degree you know God that determines the degree with which you even relate with others. When you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to love Jesus. If you are here, you want to be born again, lift your hand. I want to pray a prayer for you. I want to pray for you. Before we end the service, I want to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. Lift your hand high. I'm going to pray a prayer for you. A prayer to help you. Yes, lift it high. Above, high, high. Yes, it's your day. You see, the church becomes more meaningful when we begin to think of the right things. We put into perspective the right things. Lift your hand high. Pastor, I want to be born again. I see your hand. Lift it high. I see your hand. I see you. It's your day. You may not get it like this. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. I see you. I see you, my brother. I see you, my brother. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. If your hand is up, I want you to come to me here. Come. Come.
Flow freely. It come. Will provide your healing. Come.
And this lady. This lady. So the choir is for you. But these six souls, you are going to follow them up with the choir members. Yes. And report to Bishop Kobe what happens to them. Now, when we win the soul, we call any pastor in the church. If you are not prepared to be a pastor, then resign. Resign. Write a letter, resign. It will surprise you, Reverend Engineer. Next week, you'll be the one leading them. Be the one in charge of the convent. Be careful. Then, if you are a pastor in this church, then don't come to church. Don't come to church. Don't come to church. Be very careful. Take the microphone and lead them to Christ. Take the microphone. Everyone, lift your two hands. Stand here in the middle.
Please say and this after me.
Get ready. You all be following up soon. They think I'm joking. I don't know why they think I'm joking. It's a pastor, appointed pastor. It's in the church just playing keyboard. When it's altar call, better go and urinate. And if I catch you, you put your hand here, you are going to toilet. The UCOs are there, they are the specialists, they are everything there. But pastors with teams. Lead the church. Lead them to Christ. We are watching you.
Let's lift our hands up.
Speak well. Speak with volume.
Those in front, please say this prayer after me. This is your prayer that I'm helping you to pray. So pray with understanding. Pray with meaning. Okay? So say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for tonight.
I thank you for tonight.
I thank you for your word.
I thank you for your word.
That has come.
To convict me.
I lift up my hands this evening.
I lift my hands as I
surrender my life to you.
I surrender my life to Jesus.
I give my life to you, Jesus.
I give my life to you, Jesus.
As a token. Of my sacrifice, of the life that you've given me. I accept Jesus.
Tonight.
As my Lord. And personal Savior.
Personal Savior.
I want to serve Jesus with all my life.
With all my heart.
Lord Jesus. Please come into my life.
Please come into my life.
Come and sit on the throne of my heart.
Come and be my Lord and Master.
Come and be my Savior. Now, lift up your hands like this. Look at me. Lift up your hand like this. Say, Satan.
Listen to me.
From tonight. I no longer belong to you.
Because as of today.
I belong to Jesus.
I'm giving my life to Jesus.
I will serve Jesus alone.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Please write my name.
Please write my
in the book of life.
In the book of
so
life.
That when you come for your children,
so when you come for your children,
I will be in the number.
Will be in the
help
number.
Me, Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
Not to fall away.
Not to fall
help
away.
Me, Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
Not to go back.
Not to go
help
back.
Me, Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
Not to backslide.
Not to backslide.
Give me grace.
Give me grace.
To continue to serve you.
To continue to
continue to love you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Give a clap of praise to the Lord.
Clap your hands for the pastor. That's ministry. So, what do you, they are yours. Please. You want to take them to your house. Tell them what, and go with them. You are the one in charge.
So, please follow me. Thank you.
Yes. You want to call some of your choristers to follow you? Only one is following you. Clap your hands for Jesus. Let's welcome our pastor, Bishop Kobe, to close us tonight.
On your hand clap should be far better. You are clapping as if you have not been in the room.
Ah, what a word. What a service. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, 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 wow. What a word. What a word. What a revelation. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight.
Keep clapping your hands. Keep clapping your hands.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Father.
Keep clapping your hands.
Thank you, Lord.
What a blessing.
Thank you, Jesus. What a blessing.
What a beautiful word.
Oh, yes.
Tonight's word is beautiful.
Top, 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 top.
Beautiful word. Did you know that the first church, the original church in Acts, they were into breaking of bread? And for those of you who don't understand, when we say breaking of bread, why would we break the bread and just leave it? Breaking of bread is eating. Like breaking of bread, that means like, oh, so what were they? They were breaking the bread and leaving it. It means eating. They were eating together. This year is going to be a year of eatings. Eatings.
Amen.
I can already tell that some of you, you're already excited.
Hey.
You're already excited.
I feel it.
Yes. And we will do every single one of them by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Like there will be a day we will not come here. We'll be in various houses. Various houses. Some people will be eating ampesie. Some will be eating tozafi. Some will have banku. You know, some will also eat pizza. Some will be drinking groundnut soup with rabbits.
Hey, come on.
Then the preaching will come on the screen. You preach, people give their lives to Christ. Then when you finish, you go and add the dessert, sliced watermelon. That's your church service. Oh, clap your hands for 2024. It's going to be a bit. How many of you already feel like you have not been in the church properly? Listen, I want to tell you that when you hear the word of God like this, you ought to take a decision. Always. When you hear the preaching, ask yourself, what decision am I taking? And some of you, you must take a decision that this year I will join Eba Center. I've walked around alone. It's okay. This year, I will join Eba Center. This year, I will have a group. A group. A group. A group that I relate with, I share with, some people that I buy chocolate for. Like, you are in the church, you don't buy gifts for anybody's birthday. It's wrong. When I was a chorister, we used to exchange birthday gifts, socks, white handkerchiefs. Yes. But I see God turning this church around. I tell you, look, the word that has come tonight, it has opened something to repair it, I tell you. Yeah. Let's take our communion tonight. And the communion is a significant thing tonight because it signifies that we are part of the body of Jesus Christ.
Body of Jesus Christ.
Remember that the body of Jesus Christ is also the church. Because Christ is the head of the church. Tonight, as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, I pray for you
that you'll be made a partaker of the body of Christ. You'll be made a part of the body of Christ, not just in name, not just in name, but in real relationships, in real connections, in real interactions with other members of the body of Christ. Lift up your bread. Say, this is the body of Christ.
This is the body of Christ.
Say, as I eat it,
as I eat it,
I remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
I remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Say, as I eat it,
as I eat it,
I am being made a part of the body.
I'm being made a part of the body.
That is the church.
That is the church.
Through real relationships.
Through real relationships.
The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Eat it.
Oh, this is the holy meal. The meal of God. It will sustain you. It will make you whole and give you life. When I see the blood, oh, when I see the blood,
I you know, tonight you. It's just occurring to me that this is the blood of Jesus Christ. What binds family members is the blood that runs through them. What binds family members? So you see that suddenly, by the blood which runs through you and I, by the communion we are taking, you and I are bound as family members. Bound as blood family. Some of you have been saying that blood is thicker than water. So, well, I'm telling you tonight that your blood connections are also here.
Amen.
Your blood connections are also here.
Amen.
Lift up your cup.
Oh, yes.
Say, this is the blood of Jesus Christ.
This is the blood of Jesus.
Say, as I drink it,
as I drink it,
may I receive blood connections,
may I receive blood
with
connections
other members of the body.
With other members of the body.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Drink it.
When I see.
Lift up your hands for your blessing. Now I bless you with connections
Amen.
To other members of the body.
Oh yes.
Receive connections.
Jesus.
Receive connections to
Amen.
Other members of the body.
Ah yes.
Your days of walking alone are over.
Jesus.
You are receiving a heart that relates.
Oh yes.
You are receiving a heart that enjoys company.
Amen.
I bless you with a heart that accommodates
yes.
others.
Amen.
I bless you with a heart that tolerates others.
Amen.
I bless you with a heart that is expanded and large enough
Amen.
To accommodate many others.
Amen.
You are receiving connections.
Oh, yes.
Strong connections
yes.
to the body of Christ.
Oh,
Father,
Father,
we thank you tonight.
Thank you tonight.
I declare that hearts that were sick and we're blocking relationships. They are being healed now in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. In Jesus' name.
Oh yes.
Father, we thank you for the body and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You may be seated.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenere Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.